Let's pray. Holy Ghost, with light divine, shine upon this heart of mine. Chase the shades of night away. Turn its darkness into day. Let me see my Savior's face. Let me all those beauties trace. Show those glorious truths to me that alone are known to thee. Amen. And when Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" You know, our gospel lesson this morning brings us two major sections from the 21st chapter of St. Luke's gospel. It's 10 verses in total, and in the first 5 verses, the authority of Jesus is challenged by the chief priests and the elders in the temple. And in the last 5 verses, Jesus shares with us yet another parable of what life in the kingdom of heaven should be like. You know, sometimes the best approach we can take to a gospel lesson like the one today is to seek to answer up front those 5 all-important questions: who, what, where, when, and why. Who? Of course, it's Jesus and the chief priests and the scribes. What? The leaders in Jerusalem are absolutely incensed because of the great vibrato which Jesus has displayed and exercised in the few days leading up to this. Where? This episode takes place in the temple in Jerusalem. Why? Because it was on the day before this that Jesus had entered the temple and driven out those who bought and sold sacrificial animals at sky-high prices, I might add. And they turned over the seats of those who sold pigeons. Jesus was actually referring back to Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 11. When he said, "Get these things out of here. Behold, it is written, my Father's house shall be a house of prayer. And yet you've turned it into a den of robbers." When? Well, this event takes place, we know, on the first Tuesday of Holy Week. You see, it was 2 days before this that Jesus does, now at long last, allow his true identity proclaimed aloud to all of Israel. He came in fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy in chapter 9. "Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Rejoice, O people of Zion. Your daughter comes to you, righteous and having salvation, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And how did the people receive Jesus that first Palm Sunday, just 2 days before this? Many of them, out of respect, they took off their outer garments and they threw them in the road upon which Jesus would ride. They cut down large palm branches from trees and waved those palm branches in the air in honor of our Savior, calling out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And so you see, these things are these things that the elders, the chief priests, had in mind when they asked Jesus, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who is it that gave you this authority?" You know, I think it's a timely question for us, isn't it? Because we live in an age, it seems, when people seem to question the authority of those who've been given all various types of authority to serve humanity and the common good. What is authority? One definition I came across: it is the power to give orders, make decisions, and if those orders and those decisions are not obeyed. It's the power also to enforce obedience. You know, as children, isn't it true that many of us were taught respect for all those whom God, according to the fourth commandment, had placed an authority over us? We're to have respect for our parents and our grandparents. We're supposed to have respect for our school teachers and the principal. We're certainly supposed to have respect of the authority of the policemen and others who have been placed into offices in government. You know, long before those video games arrived on the scene, some of us learned that children's game, which was to enforce in our minds the idea of obeying authority. Do you remember that game that people used to play called Simon Says? If Simon says, take your finger and touch your nose, you better take your finger and touch your nose. But if something is said that Simon did not say, then you dare not obey that command because you would then be thrown out of the game. Not all children, but perhaps many children today are growing up in an entirely different world than the one in which so many of us grew up when we were taught to respect authority rather than to question authority. I sometimes enjoy listening to the sermons from the dean of the chapel, the Reverend Dr. Luke Powdery. He's the dean of the chapel at Duke University there in Durham, North Carolina. 3 years ago, he preached a sermon on this text. And he said, when I was a boy and my father asked me to do something, I dare not ask why. But if I ask why, my dad said, because I said so. And then if I asked my dad for a second time why, it was very possible I would soon be experiencing, no, he's talking tongue-in-cheek, soon be experiencing some gnashing of teeth. If I ask him for the third time, it's possible that I could have received a fiery whipping on my gluteus maximus muscles, he says. I knew that when my father gave a command, my father loved me. My father took care of me. He only wanted what was best for me, that I needed to dutifully obey him, or I might see my last days upon this earth, he said, prematurely. We learned it in the fourth commandment, didn't we? We should honor our parents. And what does Luther say? What does this mean? We should fear and love God, that we honor our parents, we serve and obey them, that we love and cherish them. And Luther saw that commandment as the basis for so many other places throughout the Bible where God says, for example, obey the governing authorities in Romans 13 and the like. You know, some of those commands that our parents gave us, they were for our own good. I think the vast majority were, weren't they? Some of us are not that old. We can still remember when our parents said, put your seatbelt on. Most all of us can maybe remember when our parents said, don't play with fire. How many of us didn't hear our parents say, now don't go and do something just because everybody else is doing it? But today we all find ourselves living in much more of an anti-authoritarian age. In the minds of many adults and children too, it now seems as if everything is up for grabs. Even an NFL football player, being paid the enormous salary that he is, can openly protest and defy a long-standing honored tradition in pro football that he no longer needs to stand or put his right hand over his heart while the national anthem is being played. But let me tell you that the whole concept of authority is a very important concept throughout Matthew's gospel. It says at the end of chapter 7, when Jesus had given his Sermon on the Mount, the people that heard him preach that sermon, they were amazed because he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes and the elders. Jesus always spoke as one who had a direct pipeline to God because he was God come to earth in human flesh. And then in chapter 8, we hear the story of the Roman centurion who wants Jesus to heal his servant. He said he doesn't have to make the physical trip all the way there. After all, I'm a man under authority, and I have soldiers who are underneath my authority. All Jesus needs to do is say the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, I tell you in all of Israel, I've never found A man who has as great a faith as this man has, or when Jesus, remember, made it possible for that paralyzed man to walk again, he starts out that healing process by saying, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven." Why, who has authority to forgive sins but God alone? And then in our gospel lesson, the word is mentioned four times, two times on the lips of Jesus' opponent, two times on the lips of our Lord himself. He is speaking about authority. But the greatest reference in Matthew's gospel is after Easter, when he promised he would meet the disciples out there in Galilee. All authority in heaven! All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. If Jesus has all authority in heaven, then surely his claim was true. He is God. And what we need is a forgiveness that's based on the punishment of our sins and another person who's able to bear that judgment for us, which is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus died in our place so that he can justly forgive the sin of any who will acknowledge their sin and come to him, prompted by the Holy Spirit, because their greatest hope is also to receive from him the gift of God's eternal salvation. Well, you know what Jesus did. He answered the question with a question. The baptism of John the Baptist, was that from heaven, God, or was it from man? And in asking that question, Jesus was showing that he was in solidarity with John the Baptist, and they knew it was kind of a trick question, because if they say from God, well, why didn't you guys go down there and get baptized with everybody else in the Jordan River? Nope, couldn't answer that. And we say from man, that's not going to go over very well, because so many people regarded him to be a prophet. Neither, therefore, will I answer the question that you've given to me. And then there's that marvelous parable of the two sons. Son, the father said to the first son, I want you to go and work in my vineyard. But the first son said, no. No way, pops, I don't have enough time to go and do something like that. Besides, I'm too cool of a cat to do something like that. But later the son changed his mind and went and worked in his father's vineyard. And when the father went to the second son and told him to go and work in his vineyard, he replied, no sweat, daddy-o. That's cool. Consider it done. But that son did not go. Now, which one did the will of the father? You don't have to be very old and you don't have to be very mature to figure out that actions speak louder than words. Jesus must have shocked the bejeebies out of them when he said to the clerics, the people in their clerical robes and the like, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going to go into heaven ahead of you because they received that forgiveness. Now, there's the story of the two sons, but we can't really do this parable justice. Let's remember the third son, the one who not only said from the get-go, I will do your will, O Father, but the one who indeed did the will of the Father, Jesus Christ our Lord, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be grasped. He emptied himself and took on the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. That's why God the Father has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name of Lord. And yet we can't close this morning without saying, yes, because we are sinners and we live in a sinful world, there are always those who abuse their God-given authority. They use their authority more to promote themselves than they do to serve the welfare of others whose welfare with which they've been entrusted. I mean, you know, you heard about it again. Those statesmen who prefer to take a private jet from one side of the country to the other than taking first class on United Airlines, American, or the like. It's like that young man who was serving a role in the federal government. He was working for the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency of the United States of America. He was serving in Texas, and one day this young DEA agent pulls up to a ranch where there's an old gentleman. He was the owner of the ranch. He had raised many cattle there over the last 40 years. And the young whippersnapper DEA agent told the rancher, "I need to inspect your ranch for illegally grown drugs." The rancher said to the young man, "Okay then, suit yourself. But if I were you, young man, I would not go into that field over there," pointing in the direction of that field. That's when the drug enforcement agent said, "Mister, I have the authority of the federal government with me." And he reached in his back pocket and he pulled out his badge and he put it in the face of this old rancher. "See this badge? This means that I'm allowed to go anywhere I wish to go on any ranch I wish to visit. No questions asked or answers given. Have I made myself clear? Do you understand?" And that's when the rancher nodded politely, apologized, and went about his chores. A short time later, the old rancher heard some really loud screams. It was that young FDA agent screaming out loud for help, 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 who was being chased by one of the largest breeds of bulls still alive in the United States today, the Santa Gertrudis bull. With every step, the bull was gaining ground on that officer, and it seemed likely that he'd surely get gorged before he reached safety. The young DEA agent was absolutely terrified, and that's when the rancher threw down his tools and went over to the fence and yelled out to the DEA agent, "Show him your badge." "Show him your badge." There are godly authorities. There are those who abuse authority. And God is the God over all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.